You might see an article that says you need $1 million to retire, and you might see another article 2 hours later saying that $1 million is nowhere near enough. They're both wrong, and here's why. I have clients that have $500,000, and they are retiring, and they're spending north of $15,000 a month, but they also have a pension that covers the majority of their needs. Other clients that have $3 million are nowhere close to retiring if they want to spend $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 a month. So to me, it has nothing to do with the portfolio amount and everything to do with what you actually want to spend in retirement and if that's sustainable, if you have a portfolio that's actually reflective of that, meaning you might want to spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month, but maybe you're only spending $10,000 a month the first 2-3 years when you're retiring early, when you have your energy and your health and you're traveling and you're paying for health insurance and Medicare hasn't kicked in. Then maybe a mortgage goes away, so even less is required from your portfolio. And then at that point, maybe medical expenses shoot up, so maybe you do need more again. So don't marry that expense number. Too many people make that mistake. What I'm going to walk through today is specifically how you can know if you are in a position to retire. Now, you might listen to this episode and go, oh my gosh, this really made me think differently. I think I am in a spot to retire, but I love what I do. Great. Don't stop working. People often think when I talk about early retirement, it's me saying, here's when you should stop working. That's not what I'm talking about at all. In fact, I talk about what the RE stands for. So if you're not familiar with the FIRE movement, it stands for financial independence, retire early. I don't like that definition. I prefer financial independence, recreational employment. Most people don't want to do nothing. They just want to know they're going to work because they want to, not because they have to. So one of the first things I'll show a client when they become a new client is, hey, here's your RE. Here's when you'll know you're actually working because you want to, not because you have to. And then they go, oh, that's good to know, but I'm going to keep working because I like it. Or you know what? No, I'm going to take this job that pays a whole lot less. And yeah, I'm going to enjoy it more. So that works great. I want to make sure you're not leaving anything unnecessarily on the table, but that you also don't retire too early. So I often say I'm the meanest early retirement advisor because I never want you to have to go back to work. So today I'm going to walk you through a way to think about if you know you're in a position to retire and some common myths that are probably creating head trash. So head trash is what a mentor of mine once coined the term for when someone's like, I think I'm in a good spot to retire, but I don't know. And if markets don't perform well, maybe then I'm not. Or do I have to hope, you know, taxes are going to be a big expense? How do I even think through that for retirement? So what I'm going to walk through today is my framework so you can understand if you're in a good spot. And once again, some of those myths. Now, I do like to start with client stories, give you a financial example, and then of course hit you with the logic behind all of it. So I am going to go ahead and start with a recent review. And this one comes from Lewis3249, who says, really enjoying listening to Ari's show. Find it extremely informative. I find it's the only content that specifically is earmarked for an early retirement, especially like the idea that he talks about renting in retirement and how you shouldn't die with the most amount of money. You don't get any extra points in the grave. So absolutely true. I tell everyone, you know, some people come to me that they really want to travel and they just want to be a homeowner. At the same time, they're like, hey, I want to have a home base, but should I consider renting? And so I'll do a whole rental analysis. So that's what that specific listener is alluding to, if you're not familiar. Now, we're going to start with my client story, which is there was a client that came to me. They said, Ari, I don't know if I have enough to retire because I just feel weird. I'm like, you feel weird? That's why you don't think you have enough to retire? What do you mean? They go, well, I'm 53 years old and my coworkers seem nowhere close to retiring. So how on earth could I retire? I go, well, what cars do your coworkers drive? They say, well, most of them drive Audis and Mercedes-Benz. And I go, nothing wrong with that. Those are nice cars. What do you drive? And they go, well, I, to be honest, drive a Toyota Corolla. Is that embarrassing? I go, no, it just shows where your values are. It's not good or bad. I have clients that love boats and clients that just never want to have a boat a day in their life. So it's not good or bad. So we started talking more about their situation. They go, well, I do think I want to spend a whole lot less than my coworkers. So should that change my retirement? And I'm like, absolutely. The idea that because you are maybe 52 or 53 or 54 and you're listening to this and maybe your coworkers are in their 60s and they're nowhere close to retiring, one, that they might need a whole lot more for their satisfaction in life. Maybe they have parents they're taking care of. Maybe they want a second home. Maybe they want a vacation and do first class and, you know, do all these other expenses that you might not want to do. Now, if you want to do these things, I say, great. I'm in no position to tell anyone to retire too early. I would just rather you work 1 or 2 or 3 more years so that you can do all of these things that you want to do. So it's a very basic story, but the client was like, hey, I just think maybe I needed the gut check from an advisor that just because I'm 53 doesn't mean I can't retire. So hopefully that was helpful. Now, the logic for today, I want to start with, and I've got my little list here. So, of course, you guys can all watch me on YouTube and see me go through my list. If you're listening on the podcast apps, that works great as well. But number one is make sure your retirement expenses are realistic. Now, a lot of you have already done this work, and you're like, yeah, I know, I want to spend $4,000 a month or $8,000 or $10,000 or, you know what? No, I actually haven't tracked any of this, and I should, but I want to make sure that you're all being really intentional with this. Now, what I want to make sure above all else is that you don't make the mistake of essentially going, well, today I'm earning $400,000. And so, you know, I think maybe I'm going to need $400,000 of income in retirement, which most of you aren't going to do that. But I want to make sure you don't make that mistake, because here's what might be happening. Maybe you have $40,000 between you and your spouse, you're contributing to a 401k. Maybe now, if you're, call it, have $400,000 of income and moving $40,000 out, maybe now that's $360,000 that you're actually bringing in, because what I'm doing is backing out before those pre-tax contributions. So now if I back out federal taxes that you're paying on the $360,000, because once again, $40,000 is going to 401ks, the federal taxes on that, just making an assumption here of $67,000, now you have $293,000 that's coming in. Maybe you've got, let's call it $10,000 to $15,000 going to a brokerage account of extra savings. I'm going to keep it at $13,000 to keep it really simple. So now $280,000 is coming in the door. So right off the bat, you don't need $400,000 in retirement. You would need $280,000 to just keep the standard of living you have today. Now, that does not include state taxes or other deductions such as pension, medical, insurance. So it's likely that number is high. It's just this is how you start thinking through this. So let's assume, super simple, all state taxes and deductions come out to $40,000 a year. That would mean you'd have $240,000 a year after taxes and deductions. That's $20,000 a month. So people come to me and go, how much can I spend? Well, if you wanted to spend $12,500 or you wanted to spend $15,000 a month, so 15 would be $180,000 a year, I'd say, well, you can easily do this because right now, look at the income you have coming in. And they go, yeah, but all right, one day I'm not going to have that income. I go, exactly right. What we want to do is start to understand what are the income sources you need and can you replicate that sustainably? Meaning, can your portfolio now start to generate this income that you've been creating through salary? So people often say, yeah, like $20,000 is coming in today. I get that. But, you know, my expenses are only $12,000. And so really, I feel like I need a whole lot less or a whole lot more. And I'll say, where's the rest of the money going? Meaning $20,000 is coming in. You say you want to spend $12,000. What I often find is people are spending a whole lot more. That's why I bring this up. Maybe it's travel and new cars and family support. And because they're not regular expenses, people just aren't accounting for them. So the most accurate way to determine expenses is with a cash flow spreadsheet. And we have one of those, of course. So you can see in the description of this podcast episode, I've got my cash flow spreadsheet. You can go ahead and check that out. So that's kind of level one. Level two is like, what if you want to live elsewhere? Maybe you want to live in Portugal or Spain or the Philippines. And so you don't know what taxes are going to look like. Maybe it's a lower cost of living. Maybe you want to help your son or daughter with college. What about health insurance? Because you're going to need it to come from somewhere. And certainly Medicare is going to help, but that doesn't turn on until 65. So maybe you're going, what do I do during all those years? Make sure you have enough money for these unexpected expenses and understand that some of them might be very temporary. Too many people don't factor any of this into the planning. They just go, yep, I need 2 million or a million and a half or 3 million and then I can retire. What you need to do is really understand how expenses are going to change throughout retirement. So I would almost say start there. And then simply say, let's start making some assumptions with taxes. Now, some of you are going, hey, there's a lot to this. I even know Social Security, there's something called provisional income tax where only a portion is taxed and it's based on my income. And then some of you get the paralysis analysis where, whoa, 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 there's a lot to this. I'm hiring an advisor. Others of you are going, hey, this is what I want to do in retirement. I love tax law. In which case, great. Like, hopefully this is helpful for you, where I want to make sure you're not simply making these common tax mistakes, which I'm going to tell you now, which is where people go, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to add on taxes at 15%. Well, that sounds great, but in reality, income taxes are very different compared to just what most people think. It's a marginal tax bracket system. And so it depends where you pull income from, the tax implications. I mean, if you just take an effective tax bracket of 15%, that's great, but in reality, it might be 25 or 30%, maybe only for a first, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe you're doing Roth conversions and you're doing other planning tools. And then all of a sudden now it's a whole lot less. And so you need a strategy that's changing over time. From there, what I'll tell a client is, okay, you're going to retire. You want to spend, I don't know, $12,000 a month. I'll call it $144,000 a year or $150,000. what are all the different income sources you have? Because most people just start with a pension and stop there. What I'd want you to do is say, okay, you have pension, you have portfolio, you have rental income, you have Social Security, and the timing is going to vary with all of this. Let's assume you have $50,000 a year, keep it super simple, from a pension. You want to spend $150,000 a year. Okay, well, $100,000 has to come from your portfolio to supplement the difference there. And then you have Social Security. And maybe Social Security is also bringing in $50,000 between you and your spouse, but that doesn't start for 5 years. So, okay, we want to spend $150,000 a year. We've got $50,000 covered, meaning $100,000 has to come from our portfolio. But in 5 years from now, Social Security is getting turned on, and then only $50,000 is required from our portfolio. So you might want to learn actually how Social Security gets taxed, and I have different videos on that. But the idea here is you want to understand what are the all-in income sources, and then what's the remainder that actually has to just come from your portfolio. So that's just called the reverse engineer aspect of portfolio timing. It's not rocket science, but this can make you think a lot differently, because if you go, wait a second, $100,000 has to come, is coming, should I say, from my pension and Social Security in the future. And yes, it's adjusted for inflation. Maybe there's a COLA, a cost of living adjustment on your pension. Maybe there's not. Social Security generally grows at 2.6% as opposed to inflation, which historically is 3%. So you need to make sure you're factoring all of this in. But the idea with all financial planning is that once you dial in the rental income, pension, Social Security, it's how much needs to come from your portfolio, quite simply. And if $50,000 is required from your portfolio, and maybe $100,000 is required for the first few years, but then it's $50,000 for the next 20, 30 years, okay, you might be in a really good spot, a better spot than you think. And once again, I don't want you to ever retire too early, where you can take $50,000 out. And if you're taking that from a $2 million portfolio, that's extremely sustainable. And I really want to make you think differently about this, because if you're taking $50,000 out, for example, and you have a $2 million portfolio, that's a 2.5% withdrawal rate. And so that's extremely sustainable, to the point where I would argue you could probably take out a whole lot more and not die with $5, $10 million, unless that's a specific goal of yours. What I don't want to have happen, and this is really real and it's crazy to think about it, but I have clients in their 80s saying, Ari, please go tell your clients the money's not worth as much at this age, and go spend it when you have your energy and health. So understanding how much you can spend is what I talked about last week in the withdrawal rate episode. Today is just understanding, can I make it happen? And so what you really want to know is, what are these income sources? How does that change? And how should my investments be reflective of that? And so understanding how much you need in retirement, that's where you start. Do I need 4,000, 5,000, 10,000? How much do I need to be happy? Okay, great. Keep it super simple, 10,000 a month. Okay. Number one is gut check. Can you spend 10,000 a month after you factor in all your different income sources, before looking at Roth conversions and withdrawal strategy and all those things? Can you make it happen on the bare bones of your portfolio? Some people, it's yes, I can. Well, great. And now maybe you can retire, and then the optimization begins after that. But if you have quite simply $3 million and you go, hey, I'd love to spend $80,000 a month in retirement, $80,000 a year, right there, you're less than a 3% withdrawal rate. You're at 2.7%. Yeah, if you're following the right rules and invested the right way, and that's a big assumption, you absolutely are in a position to retire. Now, some of you are going, I don't have $3 million. I might in the future, but I've got Social Security and I've got pensions and rental income. Okay, factor all of those things in and say, do I have a strategy that's connecting all the dots? And you might find, yeah, you are in a good spot to retire. Or you might find, you know what? No, I need one more year of income. You know what? No, I need two more years or three more years because I've got a home renovation, or I've got a big travel that is coming up that I really have always dreamt of doing, and that's going to be $30,000 a year. So the point here is not to stress you out. It's actually to the opposite. It's to say, I want you to know the earliest you can retire and still do everything you want to do. And what you might find is that if I forced you to spend $4,000 a month in retirement, you'd go, Ari, that's no problem. But what if I forced you to spend $12,000 a month? You might go, Ari, I could find a way to do it. Or you might go, no, to be honest, I would just end up saving more. And then we say, great, can we do more charitable giving? Can that start reducing your taxes? Can you start really implementing the pro level stuff here? I want to make sure you understand that Social Security is going to come on at 62 or 67 or age 70. And the timing of that needs to be connected to every single aspect of your plan. Most people simply go, yeah, I think I've got $1 million or $2 million, and that sounds good. I think I can retire. The numbers look good. I've got this Excel spreadsheet. but it's not accounting for all the timing. It's not accounting for how Social Security gets taxed. It's not accounting for actually where I'm going to pull income from and the tax implications. So making sure you have something that actually connects all the dots, that's going to give you a whole lot more confidence. And shifting your investments is one of the biggest things that you need to be aware of, because this is, and this is the last thing I'm going to leave you with, of the mistake that I see people make is they have everything in the S&P 500, or they have everything in one part of the market. And the risk you run is significant, and once again, not rocket science, but it is very real that if you have $1 million and markets go down 40%, that's a $400,000 loss. That's significant. You can't afford to take on that level of risk. And so what a lot of people do is they're too heavily invested, or they're marrying an asset allocation, essentially, you know, 60% equities, 40% fixed income, and going, hey, I think that sounds right. When in reality, what they need to do is, if you might need a lot more from your portfolio, you might need to be a whole lot less conservative later in your career. And you're like, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm saying. Let's assume you're retired at age 60. And you want to draw, let's say, $60,000, and you have $1 million in your portfolio. Well, if you're drawing $60,000, that's a 6% withdrawal rate. We can't have your money fluctuating in a volatile manner, because if markets go down, call it 20% or 30%, well, now your withdrawal rate's not 6%. Now it's 7, 8, 9%. And that is not sustainable. And you never want to have to go back to work because you didn't invest well. So maybe you're having a whole lot more in fixed income or cash during the years you're spending a whole lot more. And then what happens is now, oh, Social Security gets turned on. So once that happens, maybe you can be a whole lot more aggressive in your portfolio. And you're like, what do you mean I'm more aggressive? I thought, Ari, I was getting older. Why would I become more aggressive? And what you want to do is, as you have more guaranteed income, you want to be more aggressive because you have the ability to do so. And I've given this example before, but I'm going to give it to you again. Client came to me with $3 million and they said, Ari, I don't want a lot of ups and downs in the market. I'm going to lose sleep. And I said, I don't want you to have a lot of ups and downs either, but you have the ability to take a whole lot more risk than an average retiree, because you have a pension that covers all of your needs. So if your $3 million went to zero, you would still be okay. I'm not saying you're going to be happy. You'd be very unhappy. I recognize that. But the reality is, if you didn't have a pension, you could not have that as 100% equities, because you just could not weather those downturns and still meet all your income needs. That's where I tell everyone, you can't have a cookie cutter approach. It has to be customized to your goals. And too many people are not, I find, doing the deep analysis, or their advisors not doing the deep analysis, because they don't specifically work with people trying to retire early and implement all of the tax and withdrawal techniques that I talk about in my episode. So hopefully this was helpful, giving you some insight as to even considering, am I in a position to retire? Work out your expenses and don't cut the little ones. Don't cut, yeah, I think I can afford coffee, but I don't know, you know, I can make it home for a quarter instead of buying it for $5. That's not near as impactful as investing the right way and having the right allocation. So not cutting the wrong expenses, having an investment strategy, having a plan so that if markets do take a downturn, or should I say when they do take a downturn, you're going to be executing Roth conversions if they make sense for you. You're going to be proactive with your retirement. You're going to be reading tax law, understanding, okay, brackets are changing in 2026. Should that change my retirement timing? Maybe it should. And too many people don't even factor that in. What about health insurance? And starting to layer on those, call it short-term, 3 to 5, maybe 10 year expenses if you're retiring at 50 or 55 or 60 before Medicare kicks in. And then from there going, let's layer on all these different income sources and understand how much actually has to come from my portfolio alone. So hopefully this was helpful to allow you to start thinking through it holistically. Now, if you're listening to all of this going, wow, there's a lot to this, I want a partner. That's of course what we do. If you're listening to this going, wow, I love this stuff. Oh my gosh, this is what I want to do in retirement. Don't pay us, because I don't want you overcharged unnecessarily. So the majority of people coming to us, they have an advisor. They're not getting the holistic planning services that they're looking for, and they reach out to us for that reason. So hopefully if you're listening to this, this resonates with you, and feel free to, of course, reach out. We'll be happy to have that conversation with you. Thank you guys for listening. And I recognize I'm not going to work with all of you. So if this is even somewhat valuable, I do ask that you leave a review on Apple, on the iTunes app, or just shoot me an email. I love hearing from all of you. So my email is ari@rootfinancialpartners.com. And I look forward to speaking with you guys next week. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week.
Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.